If Galileo and Darwin drove a wedge between the Catholic Church and science for centuries, can environmental scientists bring them back together again?
Let us be protectors of creation, protectors of God's plan, inscribed in nature, protectors of one another and of the environment.
That is no environmental scientist. That is Pope Francis in his inaugural Mass 2 years ago. Now the Vatican is launching a new initiative with the mission of protecting the environment. Today in Rome, Pope Francis hosts a summit at the Vatican called Protect the Earth, Dignify Humanity. Later this summer, the Pope will issue an environmental encyclical on the subject of morality, on the moral dimensions of climate change and sustainable development. What actions will the Pope urge his 1.2 billion followers around the world to take to help curb climate change? Sister Carol D'Angelo is Director of Peace, Justice, and Integrity of Creation for the Sisters Charity of New York. Welcome, Sister.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's great to talk to you. There's so many questions to ask. Certainly, the Pope could do some very simple things in terms of telling believers to do this now that would have an extraordinary symbolic impact. Let's talk about those first before we talk about the sort of broader questions of the moral imperatives here. Mm-hmm. What might the Pope speak to directly? Recycling? Shopping bags? I mean, it could be as simple as that.
It could be as simple as that, because I think one of the things that the Pope Francis has tried to, and he's not the only pope that has talked about this, but what he's tried to encourage us to see is how our lifestyle and the choices that we make and the behaviors that we have impact our environment, impact the way in which not only we live, but the way in which others live here in the United States, even globally. So I think he's going to try to help us see, and I think he's using the term integral ecology, and he's helping us to see that life is very interconnected. And I think he's going to bring in the fact that creation is a gift, life is a gift.
Is it possibly an epical moment here in the sense that the Pope is calling a truce to these long-standing battles between science and the church about various things, that here's an opportunity really to get into partnership with science about something that there's political disagreement about, but that he maybe thinks there is no religious disagreement about?
For many, many years, the church has been trying, the Vatican has been hosting these conferences of bringing together scientists and economists and people to try to help show that science in its own right has so much to tell us and give us, and faith, it's a different aspect, and that also has an important part to tell us.
He's driving this with a new sense of urgency, though, because he notes that the impact of global warming falls in an imbalanced way on the poor.
Yes.
And that's certainly something he's been concerned about from the very beginning.
Right. And I don't want to lose that aspect of the poor. I do want to say that I think this is an epical moment. And I think many, many people, in addition to the Pope, realize that. I think the Pope and other world religious leaders realize that we really need to see how our faith is very much not separate from, but integrated with our life. So I do think there's that call of what do we need to do to live sustainably? And then, in addition to that, there is a great emphasis in the Catholic tradition that we are talking about how those who are most impacted by climate change are those who are vulnerable, those who are living in poverty, those who are on the fringe.
Before we go, environmentalists talk about the human personal responsibility for the earth and trying to work that into one's behavior and one's lifestyle. I mean, you know, it's not a joke. I mean, I guess the temptation might be to think of it in a light way, but in fact, if the Pope can create an environment where people are moved to confess, you know, buying bottled water or you know, doing the kinds of things that are against sustainability, you know, multiplied by 1.2 billion, that is a huge personal responsibility impact on the world. And he has the power to pull that lever morally.
Yes. Yes. Well, rather than look at that in terms of even sin or I think we need to look at it as our moral responsibility. And we're all called to conversion. we are called to convert our lifestyle. And conversion, in a sense, is a turning towards, and we want to turn towards life. And how do we do that? And part of that, bottled water is a very big thing. The way in which we make our choices as consumers, the power that we have in the food that we buy, in the clothes that we buy, even what we choose to read or the stories we choose to listen to, because the stories of the poor are the stories that we don't hear. We might hear about it in a certain way, but is it really their voices that we're hearing, or are we hearing others tell us about?
In any sense, is this a battle cry to confront the religious right in the United States who might deny climate change altogether and say that there's other forces at work and that the humans have no role in this sort of thing?
I don't know if I am knowledgeable enough about that. What I have heard is that big money has been spent to support fundamentalists. I mean, I've heard that. What I do have also heard is that apparently there are people who have the opportunity to have the political will who have said people of faith don't care about the climate. Now, when I hear that, I am deeply saddened and troubled because I work with many, many people of faith who care about the climate, and we are even joining coalitions and forces so that how do we get our voices out there saying that people of faith are not only caring but are taking very concrete actions.
Sister Carol DeAngelo is Director of Peace, Justice, and Integrity of Creation for the Sisters Charity of New York. Thank you so much, Sister.
Thank you.